You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely in a spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 244. And in this episode, we'll continue reading from volume 3. We will pick up where we left off in number 12, Jesus. Next morning, Lazarus returned to Jerusalem with his companions, while Jesus, with the three apostles, went by a very circuitous route to the house of a son of Andrew's half-brother, whose daughter lay ill. They reached the well belonging to the house about noon. The master of the house, a robust man engaged in the manufacture of wicker screens, washed their feet and led them to his home. He had a great many children, some of them still quite small. Two grown sons from 16 to 18 years of age were not at home, but at the fishery on the Sea of Galilee, in Andrew's dwelling place. Andrew had sent messengers to tell them that Jesus had returned and to come to meet him at a certain place. After a repast, the man led Jesus and the apostles to his sick daughter, a girl about 12 years old. For a long time, she had been lying upon her bed, perfectly pale and motionless. She had the green sickness. She was also a simpleton. Jesus commanded her to arise. Then with Andrew, he led her by the hand to the well, where he poured water over her head. After that, at the Lord's command, she took a bath under a tent and returned to the house cured. She was a tall child. When Jesus, with the apostles, left the place, the father escorted him a part of the way before the hour of the Sabbath. Jesus reached a little city. He took up his quarters at an inn in the city wall and then went at once with his followers to celebrate the Sabbath in the synagogue. Next morning, he went again to the synagogue where he prayed and delivered a short instruction. I saw a great crowd around him. They brought to him numbers of sick of divers kind, and he healed them. I saw that all the people of this place honored Jesus and pressed on around him. The concourse was great. The apostles also cured and blessed. Even the priests led the sick forward. I saw Jesus cure in this place a leper who had often been carried and set down on the road he was to travel, but whom he had always passed by. They had just before Jesus' coming brought the poor creature from a distant quarter of the city, where he dwelt in a little abode built in the wall. They brought him to Jesus, sitting on a couch in a kind of litter shut in by hangings. No one went near the sick man, excepting Jesus, who raised the curtain, touched the invalid, and directed that he should be taken to the bath near the city wall. When this order was executed, the scales of leprosy fell from him. He had been afflicted by a double leprosy, for that of impurity was added to the ordinary disease. The Lord healed likewise many women of a flux of blood. When he was healing in the court outside the synagogue, the crowd was so great that the people tore down the barriers and climbed upon the roof. On leaving this place, Jesus journeyed on with the three apostles and reached a strong castle, Alexandrium, surrounded by moats or ponds with discharging channels attached. It seemed that there were baths here, and I saw all kinds of vaults and massive walls. When Jesus manifested his intention to enter this castle, the apostles made objections to his doing so. He might, they said, rouse indignation and give occasion for scandal. Jesus rejoined that if they did not want to accompany him, they should suffer him to enter alone. And so he went in. It contained all sorts of people, some of whom appeared to be prisoners, others sick and infirm. Guards were standing at the gates, for the inmates dared not to go out alone. Several always went together and attended by a guard. They were obliged to work in the country around the castle, clearing the fields and digging trenches. When Jesus with the apostles attempted to pass through the gate, the guards stopped them. But at a word from him, they respectfully allowed him to enter. The inmates assembled around him in the courtyard where he spoke with them and separated several from the rest. From the city, which was not far off, Jesus summoned two men who appeared to be officers of the law, for they had little metallic badges hanging on straps from their shoulders. Jesus spoke with them, and it looked as if he were giving bail for those that he had separated from the rest of the inmates. Later on, I saw him leaving the castle with 25 of those people, and with them and the apostles traveling up the Jordan the whole night. This hurried march brought him to a little city, in which he restored to their wives and children several of the prisoners lately freed. Others crossed the Jordan higher up and then turned to the east. They were from the country of Kedar, where Jesus had taught so long before his journey to the star worshippers. Jesus sent the apostles away on this road. When the journey through the valleys near Tiberias and past the well of Jacob, the three silent disciples and the other companions of his visit to the heathens joined Jesus. They continued their journey a part of the night, rested only a few hours under a shed, and toward evening of the next day arrived at Capernaum. Here, a young man called Salim was presented to Jesus. He was a cousin of the bridegroom of Kedar, to whom Jesus had given the house and vineyard on the occasion of his journey to the star worshippers. It was the bridegroom who had sent Salim to Jesus, and he had been in Andrew's house awaiting his coming. He threw himself on his knees before Jesus, who imposed hands upon his shoulders and admitted him to the number of his disciples. Jesus made use of him at once, sending him to the superintendent of the school to demand the key and the roll of scriptures that had been found in the temple during the 7 years that it stood dilapidated and deprived of divine service. The last time Jesus taught here, he had made use of the same roll of scriptures, which were from Isaiah. When the youth returned, Jesus and his companions went into the school and lighted the lamps. Jesus directed a space to be cleared and a pulpit with a flight of steps to be placed in it. A great crowd was gathered, and Jesus taught a long time from the roll of scriptures. The excitement in Capernaum was very great. The people assembled on the streets, and I heard the cry, "There is Joseph's son again." Jesus left Capernaum before daylight next morning, and I saw him going into Nazareth with the disciples and several of the apostles who had joined him. I saw on this occasion that Anne's house had passed into other hands. Jesus went also to Joseph's old home, now closed and unoccupied. Thence he proceeded straight to the synagogue. His appearance was the signal for great excitement among the people, who ran out in crowds. One possessed, who had a dumb devil, suddenly began to shout after him, "There is Joseph's son! There is the rebel! Seize him! Imprison him!" Jesus commanded him to be silent. The man obeyed, but Jesus did not drive the devil out of him. In the school, Jesus ordered room to be made and a teacher's chair to be set for him. On this journey, he acted with perfect freedom and taught openly as one having a right to do so, which, proceeding greatly, incensed the Jews against him. He visited likewise many of the houses in the neighborhood of Joseph's old house and healed and blessed the children. Whereupon the Jews, who during the instruction had been tolerably quiet, became extremely indignant. Jesus soon left the city, telling the apostles to meet him on the mount of the multiplication of the loaves, whither he went accompanied by the disciples only. When they reached the mountain, it was already night, and fires were kindled on its summit. Jesus stood in the center, the apostles ranged around him, the disciples forming an outer circle. A considerable crowd had gathered. Jesus taught the whole night until almost morning. He indicated to the apostles, pointing with his finger here and there, whether they should go on their mission of healing and teaching. It looked as if he were giving them orders as to their journeys and labors for the time just about to follow. They and many of the disciples took leave of him here, and at morning dawn, he turned his steps southward. On this journey, Jesus was implored by a father and mother to go into their house and cure their daughter, who was a lunatic, pale and sick. He commanded her to arise, and she was cured. 1 hour's distance from Thanath's silo, all the apostles, bearing green branches, came to meet Jesus. They prostrated before him, and he took one of the branches in his hand. Then they washed his feet. I think this ceremony took place because they were all again reunited and because Jesus once more appeared openly as their master and was about to preach again everywhere. Accompanied by the apostles and disciples, he went to the city where the Blessed Virgin, Magdalene, and Martha and the other holy women, except Peter's wife and stepdaughter and Andrew's wife, who were still at Bethsaida, received him outside and in. Mary had come from the region of Jericho and had here awaited Jesus. The other women also had come hither by different routes. They prepared a meal of which 50 guests partook, after which Jesus, having ordered the key to be brought, repaired to the school. The holy women and a great many people listened to his instruction. This concludes our reading today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. When it comes to one of the healings at the beginning of our reading today, it says that Jesus commanded her to arise. Then with Andrew, he led her by the hand to the well, where he poured water over her head. After that, at the Lord's command, she took a bath under a tent and returned to the house cured. I think it's interesting that Andrew is there alongside Jesus. Then with Andrew, he led her by the hand to the well. It's almost as if to say, I'm going to enter into my passion soon. And now I am showing you what I have done so that now you may imitate, that you may do likewise. So I see this almost personally. I could be wrong. I feel like I sound like Anne Catherine Emmerich. I might be wrong about this. I think I saw this, but I think that this is kind of a transition, because here we are, the very final pages. We have one more reading of volume 3, and then we enter into the Passion. And so this is kind of the last of the healings of Jesus. Yes, there will be some during the Passion. I keep reminding people about the ear of the servant who had his ear cut off and Jesus heals. Yes, there will be healings during the Passion. But this is some of the final miracles of Jesus, and Andrew is there. Then with Andrew, he led her by the hand to the well. Andrew, I want you to see this. That's what I think it means. It says that, I saw that all the people of this place honored Jesus and pressed around him. Oh, how we wish those words could be said. All these people honor Jesus. What about your homes? Everybody honors Jesus. What about your parish? We want those words to be said about us. And then it says, they brought him to Jesus, sitting on a couch in a kind of litter shut in by hangings. No one went near the sick man excepting Jesus, who raised the curtain, touched the invalid, and directed that he should be taken to the bath near the city wall. This is something that Bishop Barron, when he was my professor in seminary, and I found myself just saying this recently, as a priest, that the priest goes where most do not want to go. When I get called and someone has died, most people run away from death. They don't want to be gathered in the presence of a body of someone who has passed. They're scared and mortified, but the priest goes to lead prayers. The priest goes where most do not want, and that's what Jesus does. And as I read that today, I couldn't help but think of that quote of Bishop Barron when he was forming us as priests. A great reminder of what the priest is and what he does. He goes where most do not want to go. As Jesus is entering back into Capernaum and Nazareth area, it says, there is Joseph's son again. Many of you might know this, but I recently founded an academic society called the Josephology Society International. It was my vision to do so, and I have a great number, you know, about 20 charter members. We're planning our first symposium, and, you know, we are creating a journal called Josephology Studies. We want to advance the study of St. Joseph, and so, you know, kind of in my own study here of Anne Catherine Emmerich, I'm drawn anytime Joseph is brought out. There is Joseph's son again. Joseph is deceased. Could have easily said, there's Mary's son. But he's closely identified with Joseph, who is not afraid to take Mary into his home. He's associated with Joseph, who raised him and cared for him. There is Joseph's son again. Mary is our spiritual mother in the order of grace, and perhaps we could say that we are children of Saint Joseph too, and that Jesus is our brother and our Savior. This brings us to the end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Please share this podcast with others, rate and review it wherever you listen. Share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends, and encourage them to so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.